So we're discussing now in this Vrindavan Mahimamrita, we're hearing about the icebergs on the ocean of devotion, the obstacles of man and woman, which are formidable for the appropriate genders. Now, chapter 13, verse 43, page 460. Santa swantam avehi dehi vanchanam dehi shvaho kamani rupagno na paritangavan nipatare chakshu pramarad api adyas shwo na patish yato sya vapusha poshaya dosha kare kurya sangamabanga vasaniyamo vrindavane griyatam. Thinking that your end has come, you should make your final will. O sinful people, do not, out of madness, lay your eyes in, or put your eyes in a blazing fire of women's beauty, as flies rush into a blazing fire. Do not commit any sinful activity simply to maintain your perishable material body. Right now, make a firm resolution to reside in Vrindavan. So he makes so many analogies he brings up in these verses, which are very graphic and easy to see. Anyone who's been in the world for a while has often seen the phenomenon of flies and moths and other characters, little insect flying creatures, fly into a fire and kill themselves. Mayavadi mergers. They merge into the desk lamp. They fly into the light and just embrace the light and give up their individual identity. You see, and they go, and that's that. And you're not. What can you do? You're simply reading Bhagavad Gita, and you have to see in the night with the desk lamp, and they knock off that way. Some people make deliberate arrangements to annihilate those creatures, but that's sinful, of course. In restaurants and sweet shops, they have all these high-voltage lights to kill all the living entities. So one can only imagine that they will become Mr. Agarwal's sweet shop. He will become a fly in his next life, and fly into some other Mr. Agarwal sweet shop, insect-destroying light, and sizzle his wings off as he attempts to land on the burfi. I get a free bite of burfi, and then next thing he knows, he's melted in the 5,000-watt blue light. You ever see those lights? They're horrible, disgusting slaughterhouses for living entities. That's the keynote in modern world, slaughter everything. Atmaha, slaughter the self. And Ishopanishad talks about killers of the self. Killers of the self. So this is a big popular feature of Kali Yuga, slaughtering. Slaughtering the innocent living entities, the insects, the cows, the birds, the chickens, the goats, the beasts, the fish, everything they can find, and slaughter them. And if they're in the way, slaughter them. If they taste good, slaughter them. Somehow slaughter them. And in the course of all this slaughtering activities, then they slaughter them their very selves. They slaughter the opportunity to realize God. And they slaughter the opportunity to get another human birth. You slaughter and become slaughtered. As simple as that. So he's comparing here to the uncontrolled eyes, to foolish flies and moths. They cannot control their desire for rupam. They see the form of the fire, and their minds become tantalized, and they become hypnotized with attraction. Then they take a sankalpa and fly full speed into that fire because of their attraction. And they get consumed by the blazing rays of the fire. So the eyes are like, this is called destruction by rupam. Different living entities find their demise by losing the control of one of their senses. So honeybees, they lose their lives because of their desire for fragrance. So they love the fragrance of the flowers. They fly into the flowers, intoxicated by the attractive fragrance, then they start drinking the nectar. So it's Gandha that traps the honeybee. Gandha means fragrance, aroma. So now the sun sets, and then the petals of the lotus close very tightly at sunset. And that honeybee oftentimes becomes suffocated in there, enwrapped in the arms of the petal-like arms of the lotus. That honeybee dies. When a lotus opens in the morning, there's one dead honeybee lying there. So this is called a living entity who loses his body due to uncontrolled fragrance, Gandha. And then there's, and Rupam is the moth and the fly who flies into the fire. And then the Shabda, one who cannot control sound, is the deer in the forest. He has very long, thin ears. Very long, thin ears with very sensitive eardrums. The deer protects himself in the nature by his hearing ability. That's how he preserves himself, because he is a prey for the predators. So in order to flee and escape, he has to have very good defensive mechanisms to recognize the movements of the predator, the footprints and breathing and of the predator, any vibration from the tiger or lion he must perceive with his ears, then flee, because he can't fight. So his ears are very good. But a problem with those wonderful ears that the deer has is he becomes enchanted by the music of a flute. He's subjected to enchantment. So when the hunter, knowing this weakness, the hunter knows the weakness of the deer. This is the weakness. I can capture and kill this deer and win the trophy of his horns and head and flesh, venison, by playing a flute. So if you can't play one, then you bring a tape player with a speaker. And you play a tape of flute with a speaker aimed at the forest. Then hearing that shabda, the deer come running out. They can't control themselves. And then, boom, 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 one dead deer tied onto the front of your jeep. You take out of the forest to the toxicologist, whatever they call it. And they stuff him and preserve him. Put him on your wall, the trophy, slaughtered deer. And taste, one who cannot control his taste, the living entity who cannot control his taste is the fish. The muchly. Muchly has much desire to taste. So he likes, so he sees a little fly on a hook, or sees some worm, and he thinks, wow, what a beautiful piece of food. What a beautiful meal that is. And his mother says, no, no, that's dangerous. Don't go there. No, no, it looks too good. See how it's wiggling and moving around here and there. It looks really fresh and tasty. Really, really nice. So then, because he can't control his sense of taste, he runs to that worm, which is hidden behind a hook is hidden inside. Then he opens his mouth, chomp, takes a big bite, and as soon as he bites that hook, choo, he's yanked out of the water and thrown into the frying pan. And he sizzles in the frying pan, dead. So this is the problem. So he's saying that, listen, don't become mad. These are all examples of madness, living entities, jivas who have gone mad. The deer went mad because he couldn't control the flute. And the moth and fly went mad because they couldn't control their eyes and the desire for rupam. Beautiful, tantalizing, hypnotic rupams lose their life, perishing in the fire. And a lowly fish could not control his desire to taste. Well, there's so many things to eat in the water, so many insects and grasses and bugs and all these things floating around in the water. There's so many underwater bugs and everything is there. But then they always want more. So this is a madness. When one wants more and more, it's a type of madness. So he's warning, don't be mad and look at a woman. A woman is like a blazing fire, which spells your demise. So basically he's saying, rupam is dangerous. But unfortunately, when a living entity gets a human body as a human man or human woman, all the senses are powerful. The desire to enjoy rupam is powerful. The desire to enjoy gandha, fragrance, is powerful. The desire to taste varieties of salty, sweet, pungent, sour, astringent. Rasa is very powerful. And then the desire for sound, everything is very powerful. Form, rupam, and sound, and smell, and taste, and touch. Touch, sparsha. Desire to touch the soft body. A man wants to touch the soft body of a woman. And a woman wants to touch the firm, strong, muscular body of a man, or the broad shoulders, or whatever. A wrap her arms around his powerful form. So this is the sense of touch has become uncontrolled. And the elephant, that's how they catch the elephant. Because he so much likes to touch his Padmini, female elephant. They dig a big hole in the forest. Big hole, not a big problem, big hole. Then put some very thin bamboo poles over the hole. And all kinds of banana leaves over the hole. Then cover the hole with dirt. Cover the leaves, the leaf roof. All kinds of dirt and plants. And then some leaves here and there. And it's called camouflage the hole. And it looks like part of the forest. And when the male bull elephant sees the Padmini, female elephant, then he's not paying attention too much to where he's going. And just like in America, there's something called rubbernecking. Rubbernecking is when they give news on the news about the freeways in America, the highways, Los Angeles freeway, etc. They're so jam-packed that they have news reports about the freeway condition. Right now, on Main Street, there's be careful, there's bumper-to-bumper traffic. Don't go out right now, wait for an hour, it's rush hour. They give news on the radio, so you're on the car and you listen to the radio, I better not go on that road, it's all jammed up, I'll go side road, alternative route. So they say bumper-to-bumper traffic, which means, obviously, cars, there's no space. Then they say, on the main road along the ocean, go on some other road because there's lots of rubbernecking going on. And rubbernecking means that the guy is driving the car, but he's looking out the window at the girls coming off the beach in their bikinis, in their bathing suits. So he's twisting his neck like this, called rubbernecking. He's going like this, stretching, and he's not looking where he's going, and he's crashing into the car and driving off here and there. So that's called rubbernecking. America has all these funny perversions and terms to describe the perversions. Rubbernecking. He's going this way. That, you know, his neck is stretched, trying to stretch his neck. So in other words, the point is, the story, beside the humor, is that he's not paying attention to where he's driving. So as he's rubbernecking, or Googling, or oogling, or looking at some pretty girl, he crashes into the car in front of him, which may even be a police car. And then he's really in big trouble. Similarly, now back to the jungle. The elephant, when he's rubbernecking. No, he's so busy. He's so busy looking at the female elephant that he's not paying attention to the booby trap. They call it booby trap. This hidden hole in this camouflage pit in the forest floor. So he says, wow, look at that, you know, beautiful, you know, whatever, elephant. So he starts running after her. And he runs across those skinny little bamboo poles and that little makeshift roof of that big hole, and boom, he falls right through and goes down 10 feet. And elephants can't jump like a dog. They're stuck. He's just there like, uh-oh, what now? And that's that. And they come with a crane, pull him out, put him on a truck, take him off, send him to America for the zoo. That's the end of the elephant. Or they kill him and take his ivory tusks or whatever to make your ivory furniture or whatever. Another slaughtering program. So this is the danger of the sense of touch, sparsha. So here he's emphasizing, be careful about rupam. Rupam, you can perish, lose your life just by rupam, by rubbernecking. You're going, walking around Delhi, rubbernecking, or Bombay, looking at, stretching your neck, looking out of madness. If you put your eyes in the blaze, in other words, the woman is a blazing fire, her rupam. That means Sri Rupam. Sri Rupam, her beautiful, shapely, attractive form, is actually a covered blazing fire. It's a blazing fire. And your wandering, uncontrolled eyes are being, which are tantalized by that seductive form, an attractive, alluring form of woman, they become hypnotized. And they fly out of your head like crazy bees, crazy flies and moths. Your eyes fly out of your head and they get stuck on the form of that woman and your wings get singed off and you're burned up, you're dead. So don't commit any sinful activity just to maintain your perishable body. Make a firm resolution now to reside in Vrindavan. Thinking that your end has come, you should make your final will. I mean, these are very serious verses, although we're making some little joke on the side here, because it's a little hard to swallow the seriousness. He's talking about you're going to die. You're going to die, you fool. Death is on your doorstep. If you have a door, you have a doorstep. Everybody has a door, car door, house door. And this phrase is, death is on your doorstep. Doorstep is a little step before you enter the door. No one just has a door in the middle of the space or some step, which you step on and through the door, doorstep. Death is there on the doorstep of everyone's door. Death is there on the doorstep of everyone's door. So chant some more for death no more. That's a rehashing of an old one. At any rate, the point is that he's telling, look, think your end has come. We never think we'll die. Make your will. And don't, out of madness, now don't waste your eyes, whether you're a man or woman, women gazing at men or... That's the man as a blazing fire for woman. Make a resolution to live in Vrindavan. You can read another translation in this verse. Make a will, you're going to die. Control your senses. Be careful of Sri Rupam, or Admi Rupam, form of woman, form of man. Control yourself, forget all that. Make a resolution, live in Vrindavan. Whether you live here or die here, you'll be successful. Just control your eyes. Contemplation of the objects of the senses, one develops attachment. So the contemplation begins with the eyes. That's why he's addressing rupam. If you can't see, it's pretty hard to get attracted to an object. It's very hard to get attracted to an object which you can't see. So imagine, sometimes I thought, because oftentimes we see blind people in India more so than other countries, because here reality is raw. In India, reality is raw and it's on the street in front of your face everywhere. In America and Western countries, reality is sterilized. It's all hidden behind covers. Old people are put in old age home. Blind people are put in a blind man's home. Crippled people are put in retarded people are put in a retarded home. Eunuchs and imbeciles are put in an imbecile. You don't see them. You just don't see them. But they're there. They have blind people's homes. In Berkeley, they have a whole blind school for the blind. They all live there. It's 500 blind people. But in India, they don't have schools. They don't have blind people's homes. And right in our street, there's two retarded kids. So you see retarded kids every day. You see blind people. You see reality as it is. India. So it's an eye-opener, as they say. It's a brain-opener. And if you have a brain, you should think about, wait a minute, what about, what's the situation here? Know that your end has come. Say something. Don't let your eyes madly fall like moths into the blazing fire of woman's beauty. Today or tomorrow, your body will drop. Why struggle so hard to maintain it? Give up the company of worldly men and always stay in Vrindavan. It's a more nicer phrased verse, more exact grammar. Both of them have their virtues. The first translation is a little more poetic. And the second one we read is more grammatically, logically correct. I rather like this one. This idea is not even there about the will. Thinking that your end has come, you should make your final will. With sinful people, do not out of madness put your eyes in the blazing fire of women's beauty as flies rush into a blazing fire. That's a rather juicy verse. Very sober. We went from the humor of Gaur Lila with the dacoits to some hard mountain climbing, rappelling of the Himalayas, or one wrong step can mean the tumbling down to the valley below and your unfortunate death when rappelling. Rappelling means mountain climbing, going up the north face of the mountain, straight up the rocks, special boots and ropes and pickaxes you throw up and then pull yourself up. You ever done that, rappelling mountain climbing? Serious stuff. There's a lot of ways to forget Krishna out there, that's for sure. Seems to be more ways to forget Krishna. There's thousands and millions of ways to forget Krishna being offered by the illusory energy. But Krishna only offers one way to remember him. That's a funny thing. It seems that if people were intelligent, they would go for the easy way. It's easy to remember Krishna. There's only one way to do it. Why are you trying to forget Krishna? There's a million different ways to do it. How do you know which way to choose each day? We can forget Krishna. Well, yesterday we forgot Krishna this way. Let's forget Krishna this way, another way today. So Maya keeps offering, she creates newer and newer ways to forget Krishna. It was sledding and skiing, and then it became bobsledding, and then it became ski-doos or something. That
snowboarding.
And it was surfing, and then it was windsurfing, and then it's kite surfing, kite windsurfing, or I don't know, fly up in the sky half the time on the back.
Parasurfing.
And you know more about these things. And my day was just, you get on a piece of board and you ride the waves. And then somebody stuck a sail on it and made windsurfing, where you catch a wave and blow off the back and sail a bit and jump back in or whatever. I never did. And then they have, now it's, you have a surfboard, then you go behind a speedboat, and then you have a kite, and you fly in the air and you come down and surf. Isn't it something like that? What is it? I don't know what the point is. I'm only imagining what it is, but the point is that there's unlimited ways to forget Krishna, the material energy. There's only one way to remember him. And what is that way? Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kolovana Stevana Stevana Steva, Gattir Anyata. Gattir is Smarnagati, Smarnagati Anyata, Smarnagati Anyata. The path of remembrance is the only way to is the only way to remember Krishna. Smarnagati, the path of remembrance is only by Harinam. Anyata, there's no other way. There's only one way to remember Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There's no other way. Text, what did I say, 47? What was it? 47. Hetat kust kutsitam asti mam rachitam vin mutra puyadibi. Purna drishtam inastam indriya ganam ardena nityarditam. Adi vyadi shatabi bhuttam anisham kamadi tahakulam. Deham tishto jatu vahari rasais tam nanda vrindavane. Hari ras tam nanda vrindavan. Deham tishtato jatu va hari ras tam nanda vrindavane. This material body is made of abominable elements, bones and flesh, and filled with stool, urine, and pus. It is destined to perish one day. Furthermore, this body is always disturbed by the senses, and this body is constantly afflicted by thousands of diseases and miseries. And it is bewildered by the pangs of lusty desires. Therefore, whether this body remains or not, you should certainly enjoy the ecstatic bliss derived from Sri Hari's love in Vrindavan. Hari Ras, that's the translation of Hari Ras Tvam Nanda Vrindavan. Nanda, sometimes Vrindavan is called Nanda Gokul. Nanda Gokul, that Gokul, that place of Nanda Maharaj, or Nanda Vrindavan, the place of Nanda Nandan and Nanda Maharaj. Hari Ras, Tishtatu, Deham Tishtatu. Kamadi Dahakulam. Beginning with Kam, Dahakulam. So much variety. He's saying that this body should become firmly fixed in Nanda Vrindavan. Deham Tishtato, Nanda Vrindavan. Because if you fix this body, the body means the body and the mind. When they say Deham, Deham Tishtato, Deham Tishtatu, Hari Rasatam Nanda Vrindavan. When the Acharyas say body, it doesn't mean the bones and skin and flesh. It means the Shukshma Sharir and Linga Sharir. Sharir means body. Deha means body. So the subtle Deha and the gross body and the subtle body means that Deham Tishtatu Nanda Vrindavan means that we should situate our body and mind in Vrindavan. And then we can relish Tvam Hari Ras, we can relish the rasa of Hari Bhakti in Vrindavan. And another translation for that 47. Let this wretched body of bones, flesh, stool, urine, and pus, which is ultimately destined to be destroyed and continually pressed by the senses, which is overcome by hundreds of physical and mental troubles, and which continually burns in the flames of lust, either stay or go. You simply please enjoy the nectar of Lord Hari in Vrindavan. Hari Ras. In other words, forget about the body. Don't give it any mind. Don't pay attention. It will come or go. Disease will come, and this will come, and that will come. So many things. We see that, and okay, that's going to go on its own. Our shubha karma will bring us good times, and ashubha karma will bring us suffering and bad times. Our papa karma and punya karma, papa fall and punya fall. Never mind. Just stay in Vrindavan, Hari Ras. Don't put energy, as we say, don't put energy into your body. Put energy into your bhajan. Because the body is dead. Without the soul, the body is dead. So what? You don't have to put life into, you don't have to put your energy into your body. It's already there. Your body has its own energy and its own life. Our conscious energy, conscious direction, we should direct our energy consciously by our choice and will into our bhajan. We will live or die. That's already, it will happen. The same discussion is there in 7th canto of Bhagavatam by Prahlad Maharaj. He said, your happiness and everyone's happiness and distress is already determined. You can't do anything to improve it or increase it. Do bhajan. Kumarat acharat pragyo dharman bhagavatam iha. He said, from the very earliest of life, kumarat acharat pragyo dharman bhagavatam iha. We should begin dharma, bhagavat dharma. Kumarat acharat. Achara means behavior. Kumar, a Balakumar, a young boy like me, Prahlad, at the age of 3, 4, or 5, he should begin practicing Bhagavad Dharma. This is teachings in Prahlad Shiksha, 7th canto Bhagavatam. So Prahlad is saying the same thing. The body will come or go. These sufferings are there. So our well-wisher, Prabhupada Saraswati, is saying, bewilderment by lust, disease, pains, it all comes. Don't pay attention to it. It's not you. We're not the body. We're not the lust. We're not the disease. We're not the pains. We're not the bones. We're the eternal Atma. And we're meant to eternally love the Supreme Atma, Sri Krishna. And this is the place, Nanda Vrindavan, to love Krishna with Hari Ras. There's another verse we can look at. This is verse 48. Next one. Adyashwa Prapatishyatosya Bharanam Veen Bhandakshyacharan. Ha ha mudha maha vinashtim ayase shtri sanginam sangata shodha naraka yantaha katinava hantanu matrasaha kim brindamana vasa bhashana mahanandaya mandayase. O fools, mundas, when you know that today or tomorrow this body will be finished. Oh, you fool, why are you ruining yourself by enjoying this body, simply a bag of stool? And why are you associating with people who are fond of women or men? Alas, don't you know how many times you have suffered the hellish conditions of life? Why are you so hesitant to reside in Vrindavan and enjoy the happiness of Brajakata, Brajavasa Bhashana, Mahananda, Mahananda Dhaya? Manda, yes, you manda, samanda mate, you fool, you stupid. You're a manda, and you can be, you're a manda, fool, stupid. Manda samanda mate yo, manda bhagyu padrata. You foolish Kali Yugite. You're a manda, and you can experience Mahananda. Manda can experience Mahananda. How? By Brajavas Bhashana. Bhashana, language. Use your language, use your words to glorify Brajavas and live in Brajavas, live in Vrindavan. Then you will no longer be foolish. And you will no longer suffer. Why are you hesitant to reside in Vrindavan? What is holding you back? Today or tomorrow, the great burden of this pot of stool will fall down and perish. Oh, fool! Attachment to women will lead to your destruction. How many hellish tortures, which cannot be borne for even a moment, are you forced to bear? It's fast. Why are you so slow to taste the transcendental bliss of living in Vrindavan? So here, Prabhupada Saraswati is encouraging all the fence sitters. There's a phrase, slang phrase, he's sitting on the fence. All the fence sitters, that the uncommitted people, they go to the dance party and sit down in a chair. And they watch everyone dancing. They're at the dance hall, they're at the dance floor, but they're not dancing. And people come and say, "Why are you doing here? You're sitting here." "No, I don't want to dance." Then the person will say, "Then why you came here? This is a dance hall." So just the fence sitters. Fence sitters means they're sitting on the fence. They're not making a decision. So many people are sitting on the fence to be or not to be. To live in Vrindavan or not to live in Vrindavan. That is the question.